G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 7. I'm John Barker. Joining me is Joel Marshall. And Joel, first day of the championships. It hasn't disappointed and, for once, the weather looks good.
Yeah, we're used to wet Doncaster days. Obviously, the rain tends to come during the Sydney Carnival, but just no rain about. Same can be said down here in Melbourne. We've got glorious weather. And it's going to be a dry day. So look, I think there are a number of very open races. I think a couple of the group ones you can really narrow it down, but I think there's probably the Derby's the toughest group one to assess. I think there's plenty of chances in that race, but I think a couple of the other group ones we can certainly narrow down.
Yeah, I certainly, you probably speak there of the TJ and the Doncaster. Decent sized fields, but probably only a handful or less chances in each.
Yeah, even the sires as well. I mean, you've got the two fillies who are coming out of the slipper, Hood and Seabrook, who look to be dominating the betting, and then a few people like the run of Longleaf in the slipper too. So, I don't really see a surprise result in that race either, but maybe a couple of the other races we might find a bit of value.
All right, well, we'll take you right through the Randwick program because it's all about black type bar, the Country Championships final, which itself is a fascinating race. So we'll start at race one, Widden Kindergarten Stakes, two-year-olds, group three over 1,100 metres.
I've gone with number eight, Enbahar. She missed the golden slipper. I think her blood count wasn't right, so they pulled her out. She was excellent in the Blue Diamond. Rushing home for second for Corey Parrish, who takes the ride again on Saturday. And of course, she won the Blue Diamond Prelude before that. So I think that Blue Diamond form should hold up pretty well here if she's over her problem she had. I think the first starter should be respected greatly. I speak of number seven, Vendome from Team Hawks by O'Reilly. He's the full brother to Group 1 winner Sham Express. And the horses with the Alan Bell colours, most of them have plenty of ability. He's very select with the horses he buys, and he's been trialling well, so I respect him. Four, Lean Mean Machine, a debut winner in for third, a number one, Legend of Condor, who's been around the mark without winning this time in.
Race two at Royal Randwick on Saturday, China Horse Club, Carbine Club Stakes, 1,600 for three-year-olds at Group 3 level.
Three, Assimilate for me. I thought he did enough in his first two runs back, chasing home Kemantari. Relished the drop-in class, dropping back to listed company in the Canberra Guineas. Got a good speed and was able to run home strongly from well back in the field. It was a dominant win. Step up to 1,600 looks perfect. He goes on top from the favourite, Holy Snow. I think those two will battle out favouritism. Holy Snow was really good in the Farlap Stakes behind a filly I rate very highly and Unforgotten, who was excellent in defeat in the Vinery last week. In for third, number four, Beau Guest on the backup. He ran okay. He probably wasn't in the best part of the ground last week against the older horses. Back to his own age group, and I think a quick backup will help. And number 12, Think Straight, perhaps one of the lesser exposed horses worth including. Well bred, and he was dominant, winning his maiden at Hawkesbury.
Race three at Randwick is the Manshake PJ Bell Stakes, 1,200 metres for three-year-old fillies at Group 3 level.
Number six, she's so high on top for me, D. Oliver for Mick Price. She was really impressive first up down the straight at Flemington. Really put a gap on her rivals late. She was heavily backed and she ran right up to that. I think she can go on with the job. From number one, Catchy, obviously top class filly, comes off a group one placing against the older males there in the William Reid. So despite 59 kilos, she's got to be in the mix somewhere. Number 12, Problem Solver, I've thrown in for third. Never missed a place, this filly. She was aimed specifically at the Magic Millions Maiden. They got the cash there. Her two runs since have been good. I like that deprived form. She's been kept fresh. I think she can run well at odds. And number eight, Demerara, who's opened up favourite. She's impressed both runs down in Victoria. She's building a very good record, and she has to be certainly kept among the main chances.
Race four is the New Haven Park Country Championships final. 16 to face the starter. A very complicated system if horses do come out, and apparently there is a possibility of that, Joel, to determine which emergency will go in to replace which horse, if any. How do you read the form here?
I think it's, the market's probably established four or five key winning chances, and I think they've probably got it right. Don't think there'll be a surprise result. I've gone with one, Suncraze. He's just missed a consistent. He's never missed a Cornella from 12 starts, 5 wins, 7 seconds. He was under a little bit of pressure early in the straight at Scone in his heat, but he really knuckled down was strong to the line. I think he's the most logical winner. From number 12, Pumpkin Pie, she's possibly the one outside the main three or four that might have a bit of a chance. She's a talented mare. She ran okay in this race last year. She was good in her heat. When edged out late by the stablemate Copy Luwak, who would have been one of the favourites for this, but doesn't go around, he injured himself. So I think that opens the door for Pumpkin Pie to run well. Three Don't Give a Damn. He missed out in his original heat. He went back to Musselbrook and won the wild card last Sunday. That was the best of him. Clearly the best is good enough. And four Snits, who's got a horrible alley, but a very smart three-year-old.
Race five is the Schweppes Chairman's Quality, 2,600 metres. A handicap at Group 2 level.
Good, looking for some of the up-and-comers here rather than those up the top that we've seen before quite a few times. I've gone for number 11, Peribson. He's the Irish-bred son of Lonro out of a saddle as well as mare. Four starts ago, he was only winning a Class 1 at Kembla, but really liked the way he stepped up to the plate in the Mannion Cup last start. He went forward after being caught a bit wide. He over-raced a little bit early, but gee, he was game up the straight, battling on for third. Sam Clipperton to ride. He's just got a lot of upside, this horse, so I'm happy to back him each way. From 8, Elward. Hasn't had much luck this prep. He's been caught wide a couple of times. Got well back last start in the Mannion Cup. I think he's a deserved favourite. In for third, number 14, which is Wheel Leisure. I think she's one of the better roughies for the day. She improved third up in the Albury Cup. She was strong to the line there behind Willy Willy. Step up in distance is certainly a plus for her. And another mare down the bottom, number 17, Doned. She's a promising staying type. She stepped up to group company last start, albeit against her own sex, but she ran well. This is tougher again, but I think she'll stay all day, so I'm going to throw her in my multiples.
First of the group ones and final leg of the early quaddie is race six, the Inglis Sires. 1,400 metres at level weights for two-year-olds worth $1.1 million.
14 Seabrook for me. She was very stiff not to win a Blue Diamond Prelude and thus get into the Blue Diamond, where she would have been a leading contender. She didn't get a run in there. Went to Sydney, sat wide and was dominant, winning the Sweet Embrace. Didn't have the ideal run in the Golden Slipper, again from a wide gate. Got bumped around a little bit, came very wide, and thought she just kept finding the line really strongly. I think she'll love 1,400 metres out of a Don Eduardo mare. Barrier one, as long as the inside's fine, and it should be. I think she's the bet of the day. So pretty keen on 14 Seabrook to beat number one, Encryption. Godolphin, geez, they had an army of two-year-olds going back a couple of months ago, and they ended up with no runners in the Golden Slipper. This is possibly one that could have gone around, but they probably thought, you know, he's probably just a top five or six chance at best, and that's probably right. He won the Black Opal, wasn't far away in the Blue Diamond. I think this race probably sets up for him better than the Slipper. So he goes in, 13 Ahud. She did beat home Seabrook in the Slipper. She had a better run. She's a top-class filly yet to win a race. She's probably the best maiden going around. She's a clear chance again. And a real roughie to include for fourth, number 9, Ragged Rascal. Didn't have much luck last week in the Bayou. He's had the run at 1,400. Can see him settling perhaps a little bit closer from a better gate. And if you're looking for one at 50-1, might be worth including, but very keen on Seabrook.
All right, well, arguably the race of the day from a punting point of view, at the very least, is race seven, the Harold's Australian Derby for three-year-olds at set weights. They're all males. They've all got 56.5 over 2,400 metres worth $2 million.
Yeah, I think this is the toughest race of the day. There wasn't a big margin over most of the horses that came through the Rosehill Guineas. There were a few unlucky stories in that race, and then you got a couple of horses making a late bid from last week's Tullock. It's really tough to line them all up. Plenty of Kiwis involved as well. Ended up going for number 12, Mission Hill. He's the one who hasn't really had a lot of luck, even going back through his New Zealand form. His Avondale Guineas run should have finished closer there. He worked early in the New Zealand Derby and never shirked the task up the straight. I thought his Rosehill Guineas run was good. He just got a bit too far back and never really had clear galloping room in the straight. He was always just hampered slightly, and I thought he was strong late. With a patient ride and a bit more room, I think the 2,400 will be perfect for Mission Hill. I've got him ahead of 14, Belfast. This is a horse who is coming through just sort of, I thought he was sneaking under the radar slightly, but I think he's into single figures now, so there's been a big push for him since the run last week in the Tullock. Came from a long way back. He was hitting the line strongly. By Teofilo, I think he'll lead up the extra distance. 15, Mongolian Marshall, who was very keen on in the Tullock last week and seemingly had the right run to win, and was perhaps a little bit disappointing, but he'll be better for that. He was a 4 weeks between runs, so a little bit of a break, and I think he'll run out the extra distance. And number one, Ace High. He was very wide throughout with no cover in the Rosehill Guineas. Yes, others were wide, ran well also, but he was the one with no cover. And of course, we've seen him proven at this trip, winning the Derby back in the spring.
Race 8, second leg of the quaddie at Randwick on Saturday. Daly TJ Smith Stakes, it's worth 2.5 mil. It is a Group 1 at standard weight for age over 1,200 metres. And as I've written in the Best Bets and Winning Post this week, it's been the grand final. It's for Australia's sprinters. The championship's setting out to be the deciders, I guess, much like the Breeders' Cup. In fact, the horse of the year has run at the championships and won in 3 of 4 years. But the sprinter of the year in all 4 years, and in fact in 6 of the last 10 years, has won this TJ Smith Stakes. And if it's Redzel, it'll happen again, because Redzel will be the champion sprinter. If Redzel gets beaten, it gets beaten by In Her Time, she might have a few fans, and if anything else wins it, almost, then Redkirk Warrior will be the only horse that's won 2 Group 1s for the year. Redzel has won a Group 1, plus, of course, the Everest. And look, let's face it, probably will be the champion sprinter anyway, and also will probably win this race, Joel. Very hard to beat.
He will be extremely hard to beat. Look, I think there's 3 winning hopes. You can possibly make a winning case for Brave Smash as well, but he's out of my numbers. Look, I've gone In Her Time. She's a favourite of mine, and I thought she should have been in the Everest. I thought she would have given it a real crack. She was just flying through the spring. They ended up going down to Melbourne and having a go at the Manicato, and without a bit of luck in running, obviously there was an unsuccessful protest. She ran super behind Hey Doc. Loved her return in the Galaxy. So she sat just off a fast pace and really in the run was never going to lose. This is obviously a bit tougher with Redzel thrown into the mix, but she's just going to get a lovely run again from the draw, and I think she can continue to step up to the plate. So I've gone In Her Time from 1 Redzel. No real knock on him. He was excellent in the Lightning when bloused late by a freakish performance and then got back on track with a dominant win in the Challenge. I think number 9 English is possibly the third winning chance. She obviously has been placed in this race the last 2 years behind Chautauqua, and it was good to see her get back on track in the Galaxy. They put the blinkers on her after she was just okay in the Challenge first up, and the blinkers really seemed to work. She was charging late for second. We know she's a really elite performer at this time of the year, so wouldn't be shocked if she blew them out. And in for fourth, as I said, you could make a case for Brave Smash, but gone looking for a bit of value to spice up the exotics, and we're throwing 12 Trapeze Artist, who's the 3-year-old, and he's been freshened up. He ran really well in the Randwick Guineas. The Kementari form's strong. I think back to the 1200, where he's run 3 from 6, wouldn't let him sneak under your guard.
Race 9, third leg of the quaddie at Randwick on Saturday. And last of the Group 1s is a Star Doncaster Mile. It is the main race of the day, certainly by the cash criterion, being worth $3 million. 1,600 metre handicap. And gee, after Kementari rang third to Winx and Happy Clapper in the rider, and now dropping to 51.5, was always going to be very hard to beat, Joel. But people are looking for a horse to beat Kementari, and you found one as well.
Yeah, I really think you can narrow this down to 3 winning chances. I don't think there's a great deal of depth this year's Doncaster, and I just think 3 horses stand out. Speak of Humidor, Happy Clapper, and Kementari. I've gone with Humidor. He's got to certainly create a bit of history here with 58 kilos. So we've seen a couple of greats of the turf in recent times win this with 58 or more. I speak of Sunline and Superimpose. It's a tough task, but he's obviously a very, very smart horse. He presents beautifully into this third up. He was a dominant winner third up at the mile in the spring in the Mackayby Diva, winning by over 3.5 lengths, just a completely dominant win. Obviously went on to press Winx, give her a bit of a fright in the Cox Plate when the blinkers went on. Blinkers go back on here third up. He was never going to lose the Blamey. The margin wasn't great, half a length on the line, but he came from last in a sit sprint and showed that habit of his, that bad habit of him laying in, but he put the field away. He's very classy, and we've seen him perform well in Sydney before too. So Humidor on top from Kementari. He's just irresistible, isn't he? 3-year-old in form, no weight, coming off the George Ryder placing. So he ticks all the boxes, as does number 3, Happy Clapper. just continues to perform at the elite level, doesn't he? He was excellent last campaign, super winning first up, getting that Group 1 in the Canterbury Stakes, and then tried very hard behind Winx. I think those three stand out, and didn't have great confidence in putting in a fourth horse. I've gone Egg Tart. A lot of people thinking she needs the wet, but Blinkers On might just be something that sharpens her up. She was really good first up, flat in the Coolmore. Just hoping the Blinkers, that might spark a bit of improvement. She's a better mare than the 40-1 suggests.
And taking us home on Championships, day one is race 10. TAB, Adrian Knox Stakes for three-year-old fillies, over 2,000. Last roll that I saw, last tune up for the Oaks next week. And again, there's a couple here that people are pretty keen on, including your selection, Joel Martin.
Yeah, interesting race. Obviously, we've got Lover Lover, who missed last week's Vinery with a setback, and she presents here with 60 kilos, gives 7 kilos away to all of her rivals. So I guess that's the question. She's going to be favourite, so I would think she'll run favourite. Harmattan's opened up pretty short, pretty close to Lover Lover. I've gone for Harmattan. She's looked really good down in Victoria. The first two wins were strong. I thought she kept chasing strongly there behind Think Blur at Moonee Valley. She's by Street Cry. I think the step up in distance will be fine. So I've gone her way, but a bit surprised at, you know, $3.50. I think that's short enough. In for second, I think number two's the value. She's a treasure, the Kiwi filly. Blinkers went on two runs back. She was dominant. Got to the Lowland Stakes, the key lead up to the New Zealand Oaks, and just didn't have much luck. She's the one that could improve sharply at double figures. I think she's probably the best value. One Lover Lover. 60 kilos, just a bit of a task, but clearly she's good enough to go very close. In for fourth, number 11, which is another Victorian pretty to see. She comes through the same race as Harmattan, and she was stuck on the inside, had nowhere to go when all the others were building momentum, so she might be an improver.
All right, well, that takes care of a massive Championships day one at Randwick. Just to recap, Joel, your best and value bet?
Our best is Seabrook in the size, race 6, number 14. I think $9 is very appealing for Humidor. So he's my value in the Doncaster, race 9, number 1.
All right. Well, there's black type racing in all five mainland states. I was going to say capitals, but Toowoomba and Bendigo, of course, aren't capitals, but certainly the metro racing in all five mainland states on Saturday has black type. And I tell you what, this big, big field at not so much Perth, but everywhere else, which was a major challenge for both Best Bets and Winning Post to pack it all in. Bendigo, and in fact, 550 acceptors across the four meetings that Best Bets was covering this week. Bendigo, 142 acceptors, 27 more than last year, which does make planning rather hard, but you don't want to hear about that, listeners. What you want to hear is what's going to win these races. There's quite a few features on the card, but we'll stick for the time being to the two listed races, and the first of those is race 7 at Bendigo on Saturday, and that's the Bet365 Golden Mile. It's worth 150. It is over 1600 metres.
Yeah, good race. A couple of smart ones resuming, and a couple of you know, progressive horses here. I've gone for the mare Sort of Light. Might have something on her each way. She was outclassed in the Oakley Plate, but ran okay, and then had the pattern against her at Moonee Valley, just got too far back, wasn't ever a hope. I thought she was pretty good at Caulfield last week. She covered a bit of ground early, then got into a good spot. She sort of got up to the leaders, who a couple of them faded quite badly, and then she was found wanting a little bit late. She'll be fitter for that, and two from four at the mile. So can back her each way from six, Kawaya. Plenty to like about this his performance first up at 1400. He was back and wide and just kept going through his gears, finding the line. He was beaten less than a length. 1600, still a little bit short for him, even though he's won twice at the trip. He'll get up over further, but I think he's too good to ignore. Four, Hardham, first up from a spell. He's a classy performer when right. And three, Emma Vatio. Pretty consistent this level. Not much luck at Caulfield second up. He was buried away on the fence and should have finished closer.
Kawaya for me, number 6 to beat 7, Light in My Veins, 5, Seaburge, and 10, the race specialist, but first up this year, observational. Race 8 is the other black type race at Bendigo. It is the listed Mitchelton Winery Bendigo Guineas, 1400 metres for 3-year-olds. It's also worth 150.
Number nine for me here, Black Sail. He comes into this fresh. We saw him first up in the Autumn Stakes. He sat just off a pretty quick tempo there, and I thought he battled on quite well, beaten just over three lengths by Holy Snow. They threw him into the deep end. I guess it was worth a crack having a go at the Australian Guineas, and he was well held there, beaten eight lengths behind Grunt. This is more his go, I think, and if he's fit enough for this, as I say, off that freshen up, I think he run really well at double figure odds. From five, Holbein, who's going great guns. That was a dominant win at Flemington last start. Two, Sir Coney, first up from a spell. His trials have just been okay, but I'm hoping 1400 first up will really play into his hands. And in for fourth, the filly, number 16, So Far So Cool. She will strip a fair bit fitter for that first up run at Mornington.
Well, I'm with Holbein here, number five, to beat six, Muhammad Ice, one, Overshare, and two, Sir Coney. Holbein is, in fact, my best, Joel, and going up against your best in Black Sail. But we can concur about our value bet, race nine, number 16, My Paisan.
So we agree with My Paisan. That's good to hear. There's always been a bit of support for her, already been a bit of support for her. I think she was double figures. She's in around $9 now. She showed good promise last prep. He did, sorry. She sounds like a girl's name, doesn't it? He showed good promise last prep. I thought the first up run was good. He was wide and just kept battling on pretty well there at Mornington. Drops from 57. I think Jess Eaton will take the full three, so that'll be a nice weight drop down to 51.
All righty. Earlier in the day, there was a $250,000 two-year-old race, the Jayco Vobis Gold Rush Race 3. Did you like anything outlandish there? You've gone for a first start, a fourth emergency barrier 18. Good luck.
Yeah, I think he'll need luck getting a run. I think he's in at Echuca on Sunday, so we might save him for another day. But that star fall. Number nine, Sticks, I went for. He showed improvement when the blinkers went on in his latest jump out, so I thought he might be a bit of an improver. 12, Sizzle Me, and one more, Brick's Next Best. But yeah, not a race I get too involved in. Maybe something small on Sticks if the price is appealing.
All right, that wraps up Bendigo. We head over to Morfordville and remarkable size fields by Adelaide standards at Morfordville this week, including two listed races. And the first of those is race seven, the Manahai Classic. I didn't bring the tips here. Joel, did you have a look at this meeting or not?
Didn't have a look in great depth, but I can tell you that Paul Richards, our Winning Post expert here, is with Whispering Brook, and she does look tough to beat. She sat outside the lead at Moonee Valley and just dominated that race, really put a gap on them late. Obviously, that was her first start for Darren Weir, the former Perth mayor. You would think they're looking at the Goodwood and then into the Sangster for her, so she should be very hard to beat. Richo likes number two, First Among Equals, the stablemate, as the main danger. Number two from nine, Alta Stella, and six, Concealer. But yeah, myself, I'd be with Whispering Brook. She'll probably be reasonably short, however.
James Jordan is with Whispering Brook as well. And the other one, race eight, the listed Lelia Stakes for three-year-old fillies over 1600. Richo is with number four, Palazzo Vecchio. Yep. Still looking for the first win this time.
I was with her as well, but I think she's going to be scratched. I just saw something just before we came into the studio. So again, no luck for connections with Palazzo Vecchio. I thought she was the bet of the day there because she hasn't had much luck. So with her out, Richo is with nine, hardly surprising, from seven, Mo Fem, and five, Pandemonium. Six, Glam Guru, is a filly that I've got a bit of time for, but the barrier makes things a bit tough. If she gets a bit of luck, maybe she can figure. But yeah, I'm not sure about that race now because I did think Palazzo Vecchio was the best for the day in Adelaide.
Plenty of horses going around at Toowoomba as well, with the Toowoomba Guineas, Toowoomba Cup, and the listed Wheatwood Handicap. So tell us about the Cup and the Sprint. Joel, race seven, you bet Toowoomba Cup, 2,000 metres.
Yeah, we've got a decent sort of a lineup here. I've gone with number two, Merendi. I was sort of with him last preparation and early this prep, and he wasn't winning. He ended up putting four wins on the trot and really found form. And then last start, he won three on the trot, sorry. Probably should have made it a four on the trot. Last start, he was unlucky. Probably should have won. He had the 59 kilos, was held up, and ran well for third. He gets a bit of a weight drop, draws well. If he gets the brakes at the right time, I think he's the one to beat. And he's come up decent each way odds too. From six, Doubt Defying, four, Honey Toast, and seven, Exoteric. The best race for the day is clearly the Wheatwood, and it'd be even better if the emergency's got a run. Obviously, the very gifted Mr. Marbaloos is the highlight. He's second emergency. He's also in race five, where he's drawn barrier 13. Look, if he doesn't get a run, I like number three, Man of His Word. He's a consistent performer. He hasn't won for a little while. He's just sort of his pattern. He can get back and find a bit of trouble, but he was good first up in the gold market. If he gets the breaks, I think he'll run really well. Had Mr. Marble loose for second. If he gets a run, High Iron Back, number eight, in for third. And for fourth, number 13, Aminat. My best for the day is race nine, number eight, Quick Catch, who's trained on the track. Last two runs is chased home Mr. Marbaloo's out to 1,300. I think he ticks a few boxes, and he's come up pretty good odds too. And my value bet's in the Guineas, race six. He's a relatively unexposed galloper called Gunbolt, number nine. He impressed winning a maiden at Ipswich last time in, caught back and wide and was really strong. They tipped him out for a break. He resumed at the Gold Coast over 1,300. Just found that a bit sharp, but he was doing his best work late. I think he'll lap up the mile, and yeah, they're betting around 30-1. So obviously those up the top, bit more proven, they'll be dangers, but I think he's got a fair bit of upside about him, so maybe something each way on Gunbolt.
Okay, at Ascot on Saturday, there are two listed races. They are both for three-year-olds. The Rack on Tour is over 1,500 metres, and here BJ Ryan is going for number one, Abdicator. That's race six, number one, Abdicator. Led in a high-pressure challenge stakes and backed it up with a decisive win in the Classic at Bunbury. And races on top of the speed is the horse to beat, says BJ. Race seven is the Sushi Master Mel Vista Stakes. This is the Derby leader for three-year-old colts and geldings only over 2,200. The favourite is number one, Money Maher. G and A Williams have three runners in it, including the well-fancied Action and Tell 'Em We're Coming, but BJ's selection is the other one, the unfancy, or relatively unfancy for a G&A Williams runner, with McGruddy on top, and that's number eight, Sentimental Friend. Was three wide, no cover from barrier 11 in the Roberts Stakes, boxed on late, and here from barrier four should get a much sweeter passage and should not be worried by the 2,200 metres. That is Ascot, and if you're interested in BJ's best and value selections, his best bet is race four, number one, Dainty Tess, value bet. Race five, number six, Minus Looks. Earlier in the day, Joel, they are racing at Tiarawa.
Yeah, and they've got the Group 1 Thoroughbred Breeders Stakes, a wait for age for the fillies and mares, on with number nine, Rude Not To, expecting the track to be between good and dead, and certainly reasonably firm, and that will suit her. She wasn't suited by the deteriorating track conditions last start. Prior to that, her form was good, so I think she can bounce back. My best is All Roads. Listeners may know him as All Our Roads. He was across here in the spring with Chris Waller. He had a good prep too without winning. He ran a good fourth in the Cantala Stakes before going to Perth and not having the best of luck with barriers. He's returned to New Zealand. He's trialled up super. He'll be very hard to beat. Number nine, Romancer, is the Quinella horse. My value is Lascalia Rose, race nine, number 10. Got a bit of time for this mare. She stepped up to reasonable company last time in and ran well. She resumes here. She'll definitely be better with the run. Her trial was just fair, but she didn't have her blinkers on. She's got them on Saturday. And Jordan Grob, Victorian apprentice over in New Zealand, trying to make a fist of it over there. He takes the ride. So maybe something each way on her. Rickard in the other meeting. My best is Smokehouse Bay. Drops back from a stakes race to benchmark 65. That's more her go. She can improve. And my value is Live in Hope, race one, number 11.
Alrighty, well, that takes care of a massive Saturday of racing around Australasia. Needless to say, your winning post will carry you through right from Friday to Sunday, as well as the fields for Scone Monday. So we've got Friday night at Cranbourne, we've got that massive day on Saturday. We've got Sunday with the highlight of the Wellington Boot, and Joel, despite having a Group 3 and the Group 1 sires at Randwick on Saturday, we've still come up with some quality two-year-olds for $150,000 statewide shares Wellington Boot Showcase. Race 7 at Wellington on Sunday, and plenty of city stables making the trip.
Yeah, Peter and Paul Snowden have got a runner. They've also got an emergency. Gay and Adrian's first starter didn't get a run, is left on the ballot.
Only needs one more scratching, though.
Yeah, okay, so it might get a run. It's trialled up pretty well. I thought Bjorn Baker's filly, Miss Invincible.
Yes.
Yep, she showed a lot of speed in her first prep, had a tendency just to put the head in the air and get it all over and done with. Her recent trial, I thought, was pretty good. She sat outside the lead, didn't seem to want to go as fierce. That will certainly help. She's drawn well, and Greg Ryan He knows Wellington pretty well, so I'd be happy to back her. The Snowden horse, I think, is the hardest to beat.
Alrighty, well, that leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. All the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday, Fields for Monday, and all the great reading that you're used to. Matt Stewart, Shane Templeton, Joel himself, of course, Paul Richards and Tony Kneebone, among others. Stephen Pateman, as well, as the jump season starts to get into swing. Joel, our best $20 bet for the weekend. Now, I reckon, although I wasn't here last week, I reckon I got it up. In fact, I got it up massively the week before. My best at wherever it was ended up paying $10.30 or something. I couldn't believe it. I can't actually remember what horse that was. But
and you weren't in last week to Skype about it.
No, exactly. But you've put... I'm not going head-to-head against your best bet, so I am going to go with race 7, number 6 at Bendigo Kiwire.
All right, I'll go Seabrook in the sires at Randwick. Race 6, number 14.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. You're back, plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week, or at least Joel and Carl will, because I'm on a week's leave, on the Preview Podcast.